You guys want to start turning to 1 Corinthians 15. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that it is alive and true. Lord, we thank you that you do not change. We thank you that your promises have continued to be the same. Your promises are yes and amen in you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here we are. Change is upon us. You know, after the last couple of years, I think the last thing that any of us want to hear is change. We've gone through a lot of change. And it's not really been a surprise, though, when you look at what God's been telling us. Prophetic words that we've received, they're not just something that we receive, feel good about it at the time, and put on the shelf. No, it's God's timeless message to us, that he had a specific word for us, that he probably confirmed something else that was already going on, or we recognize it unfold as we walk through it. In the last 2 years, I remember multiple times hearing the words, rapidly accelerating and explosive change. Little did we know that we would be right here in this time, September of 2020, but we are. And God is still God. God is still in control. I checked, he's still sitting on the throne. Just because our circumstances, everything around us is changing, doesn't mean that God's not still got this. I was reflecting on a lot of those prophetic words. One of the other words that we had was, dig the original wells. And that's exactly where we're at right now. God's purpose for new life has not changed. It's not changed from 10 years ago till now. It's not changed from 20 years ago till now. God still wants us to be effective in Rochester and Fulton County. And he's looking for us to recognize our place here and go forward in the vision with this body. And it's up to us to be obedient in that. One of the other words that I remember is God gave a word at the beginning of the year to look beyond 2020. I think we all want to look beyond 2020. And 2020 is not over yet either. But God is stationing us for the future. He's stationing us for the advance. He's stationing us for the long term. 2020 is nothing like I've ever seen before. Maybe some of you guys have, but I never actually have. So in these times, we need to know where we stand, that's for sure. All right, so 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 57. Hey, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So Paul gave this exhortation to be steadfast and immovable. And that's exactly where we are today. Because of our position in God, we are staying steadfast and immovable. Steadfast, I remember hearing this word in high school, and I loved it then, and I still love it now. It means to be firmly fixed in place, immovable, not subject to change. God's word also uses the word stand fast, or the phrase stand fast, a lot of times. That means to stand in a firm manner, securely, in a such a way not to be moved. I encourage you to go do a word search. Do a word search, find where God uses those words, and it's just an encouragement, really. Being steadfast gives you consistency. It remains something constant in your life. It gives you a calmness when you stand on what you know despite everything going on around you. I think of Peter here when he stepped out of the boat and he had his eyes focused on Jesus. It was a big, big, big storm. And I don't know if you guys pay attention to like Lake Michigan, but Lake Michigan, when there's storms, that water is all kinds of choppy. We were up there earlier this summer, and we weren't in big waves, but they were big enough that they were really lifting you up and setting you back down, and that was in somewhat of the calm. But Peter focused on Jesus. You know, as I was putting this sermon together, I heard from something from God, and that was the direction I was going for the sermon. And then I heard something else that seemed completely different, that didn't seem like it went together. I'm like, God, is that really what you want me to speak on? Yeah, that's what I want you to teach on. Okay, so I started going that direction. Then I had a third word that was also different. I'm like, now this just kind of seems like a smorgasbord, not really much of a focused sermon. And then it dawned on me as he was starting to tell me the fourth part. And it's kind of neat when God does that, where he takes things that don't make sense to go together, and he puts them together.
Yeah.
One thing you guys will learn about me, if you don't already realize it, is I love body ministry. Because there are people here that outside of the love of God, I don't know that I would have run across them, met with them, loved them like I do, but God takes totally different people and puts them together. So what I'm about to actually do may look very familiar to a lot of you, because it's the New Life Vision statement of all things that I didn't realize until I was going through and starting to prepare it. So, as a caring and loving church, we purpose in our hearts to focus our attentions in the following directions. Upward. So, upward, exalting God in prayer, praise and worship, and preaching the word. We purpose to show God he is our passion and express our love and thankfulness for who he is, what he does, and who we are because of his grace. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Yes, it takes a while to read through it. But read through it, and five times in that chapter, he uses the word meditate. And that's exactly what we need to do in this time, is meditate on different aspects of God. Meditate on his word. Meditate on his character. Meditate on his works, his creation, his nature, his values, his very being. At New Life, we honor God. From the songs that we sing, we make sure that they are honoring and praising and worshiping God. Just because a song is a popular song on the radio does not make it a worship song. There are some songs that they've got a great beat, they're great who you are, but they're not a true worship song. They're good for the purpose that they're for. But here, during our Sunday services, we want to make sure that those songs honor God. And even in our own private worship time, we want to make sure those songs honor God. Everything that is said from this pulpit comes from God. We run it through Holy Spirit first. We're not afraid to recognize that as we say something, that if it's not from him, we're going to shut our mouths. If it is from him, we're going to let it flow. One other thing about the relation or about upward is it focuses on our relationship with God. Each of us have to make that decision to have that personal relationship with God. I can't have a relationship with God for you. I can pray for you until I can't pray anymore, and I will. Think of when you received salvation. It had to be you praying for it. Otherwise, me praying for this person, just because I prayed for them to be saved, doesn't mean that they made a decision to follow Jesus. It flows out of our hearts. That's why it says, I love Romans' road of salvation, and it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. It doesn't just say if you confess with your mouth, it says if you believe in your heart. So we believe that upward portion is very key and very important. One of the things with Addison and Gracie that we do a lot is when they ask us to pray for them or pray about something with them that's been bugging them, because I'll be honest, I've got two girls and I'm learning they are emotional. So I have to learn that to care for that emotion. But the emotions is a good thing. God created us that way. But we always ask them, have you prayed about this first? Because it's important for them to realize that they have the ability to go to God with that, and then they don't even need to get all worked up by the time they hold it and then they talk to us. So our communion and fellowship with God, it's ongoing, and we need to be aware of His presence at all times. We have it listed first because without God, we have nothing. So, I got a little ahead of myself. All right, so we already talked about upward. Now we're going to talk about inward. So inward, we're encouraging each other. We purpose to express our love for one another in deeds, prayer, and speech. In a world of negativity, we choose to support, defend, and honor each other in the sight of God. This was written long before 2022. So, 2020, not 2022, but you'll get that later. But in a world of negativity, because let's all face it, the world's pretty negative, we need each other. We need that time to fellowship with each other. We need that time to gather as the saints. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I've said it before, but us getting together is a time for encouragement. We have the ability to speak life into somebody, or we have the ability to bring them down. I want to speak life. I want to speak encouragement. It's important because somebody may be going through something, and if you aren't hearing what they're going through, or what they need help with, or how you might be able to minister to them, how you've been able to overcome something that they're overcoming, or that they're about to overcome, we need that. Pray for us. Wednesday nights are a really good time. Those of you that have been coming to Wednesday nights, there is something that's powerful with just having that small group of people that we had been having come. It was something really nice because it was that smaller, intimate setting that there was more casual conversations, more what's going on in somebody's lives than you get usually on a Sunday morning. And I think I know the direction we're wanting to go. I'm waiting for confirmation from God, and I'm going to run it by a few of the leadership and the elders and that. But it's going to be a good time. There's nothing saying that we have to do a Bible study like we've always done, because there is value in gathering. because most of us, the last thing we need is another teaching, another formal teaching. It can be a dialogue. It can be hanging out. It can be we get together and we end up just praying for each other the whole time. We may intercede for the country. We may intercede for our county. We may enjoy a movie. Is that okay? So pray for us. One thing at New Life is we love to fellowship. That's why I said greet just two or three people, because otherwise we could spend the whole time just fellowshipping. But we create bonds. We care about somebody. The more I'm around you, the more I care about you. The more, as Paul said, as he in so many of his epistles, where he longed to be with the church in Thessalonica. He longed to be with a church that he planted somewhere else. And so then out of that friendship, out of those bonds, it flows. And it flows outside of just this building. Body ministry has always been a focus here at New Life, and that will continue to be the same. Because God gives gifts not just to one person, not just to a handful of people. He gives those gifts to the whole body. And He gives different gifts to everybody. You may have the gift of healing. We want to lay hands on somebody. We want to see them healed. You may have a gift of not a word. A word of knowledge for somebody. A word of wisdom. It's just so good having body ministry. So we went upward. We looked inward. We're also looking forward. Forward, equipping the saints. We purpose to assist others in identifying and employing their gifts for the extension and establishment of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is still our primary focus. Equipping the others is something the leadership still has as our main responsibility. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. This truth, when it hit me hard. And 4:11 is so often taken without continuing on to verse 12. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are here to equip you for the work of ministry. And there's joy in doing God's work. Trust me. There is joy in doing God's work. When you are in your anointing, it flows out of you. When you're not in the anointing, it's work. So that's why it's important for us to recognize and encourage each other to be in their anointing. One of the first messages this year was about using the gifts. The first messages this year weren't even by Pastor Rick. It was by church members talking about using your gifts. It's just a wonderful thing how God works everything together around here. So with the body, we need everybody doing their part as well. We're all going to get stretched. Stepping into the interim pastor role here, it's a step for me. That also means that roles that I was filling, that I was doing, we need others to step up and help in those areas. I'm stepping into this as a faith step because I know I've heard from God. I know this is what God wants. I've heard from God, and I'm continuing in that. I ask you to check with God, too, for where He wants you to serve, where He wants you to help. He might be prompting you to serve in a way that you go, well, I really never thought about doing that. That's okay. I never thought I'd be doing some things I've been doing. I'll say, God may be prompting you to help in the nursery, children's church, computer, the soundboard. It's really not as complex as they think it is. Trust me. Diane, am I right? I mean, Addison learned it in a matter of a couple of weeks, so it's not as difficult as it may look. So be open, too, if we approach you and ask if you'd be willing to serve. And just hear what Holy Spirit says at that point. So, brings us to our fourth point. So we've looked upward, we've looked inward, we've gone forward, and we're continuing outward. Outward, evangelizing the lost. We purpose to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in winning the lost to Him. So, I train a lot of people at work on how to troubleshoot things. And I've realized something over the years. If I do it for them, they're not going to remember it at all. If I tell them how to do it, they may or may not retain it. They may or may not be able to do it. If I write it out, they have more of a chance because they'll refer back to it in the future. But I found so often if I show them the example on how to do it and then hand it to them to do it, they learn it so much better. And that's exactly the gospel, too. You know, we can have altar calls, we can have crusades. Those are good things. But you got to come alongside them. You got to have that relationship with them oftentimes too. Because if they have something, especially if they have something to refer back to, because you may have said a prayer with them, but if they're not plugged into a church, or if they're not having a next step type of what they need to do next, they may not know what to do. But if it's somebody that you have a relationship with and they see you living the gospel, they've seen a change in you from before you received the gospel to what you are now, that is one of the most powerful things that anybody can see. So there was once a man who very adamantly believed in living by faith. He believed God would provide his need and he would receive whatever he asked for. One day he stood up in church and said that from that day forward, he was going to trust in God to supply all his needs. He quit his job and moved into a dingy little house on the rougher side of town. The first night he prayed fervently for God to send him some food because he was beginning to get hungry. The next morning, he walked outside expecting to find food, but there was nothing there. Figuring that he didn't pray fervently enough, he dedicated the whole day to praying to God and to provide food for the next day. The next morning came, and still no food. That day he prayed even more fervently for God to provide nourishment, for now he was really getting hungry. He said, God, you must provide me with food or I will die out here. He prayed over and over again. The next morning he walked outside and still no food. By this time, he was beginning to get angry with God and not providing food for because he promised it in his word. That afternoon and evening, he redoubled his efforts as he prayed. Dear God, I'm going to starve to death unless you feed me. I haven't eaten or drank anything in 4 days. When he went to bed, he heard a faint voice calling out his name. George, George. I'm here, Lord, he cried. Are you finally answering my prayer? I've been answering your prayers, the voice replied. You've just been looking in the wrong direction. What do you mean, Lord? Walk outside, said the voice. George walked outside, looked all around on the dirty porch, but still found no food. There's nothing here, God. I don't see any food. No, you're looking in the wrong direction. Look up. So George looked up, and there was a huge billboard that said, Day laborers wanted. Lunch will be provided. It's a little Labor Day joke for you. But there is a lesson there too. Give yourself as the example. So, when you're out and about, the biggest way to show what God can do is live as the example. Because if you're interacting with people and they realize that you don't tell them anything like you're already living, then they're going to see, well, what do I really want that for? They're miserable. They've got all this going on. But if you do what you say, they see that you're the real deal. 2 Corinthians 3, in verse 2, it says, "You are our epistles written on our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh." That is, of the heart. And the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us. That's important to remember. He lives in each and every one of us. He gives us far more power than we acknowledge sometimes too. Sometimes the only thing holding us back is ourselves. The church exists for the non-believer. Yes, it's great to come together. I love coming together with you guys. But we exist for the non-believer. Jesus told all of us to go and make disciples. Not everybody has the call of the fivefold ministry we talk about in Ephesians. Not everybody has the position of an evangelist. Likewise, not everybody has the gift of evangelism from the Holy Spirit. But we do have, each and every one of us, the responsibility to share the gospel. Sometimes the way we respond to a situation speaks far more than what? Than anything we could do or say or tell them before them actually seeing us go through it. And we need to do everything in love. We need to abide in love. We need to live in love. I don't remember where it is, but Jesus somewhere, he tells us that this new commandment I give to you, to love one another, and by your love, they will know that you are my disciples. For whatever reason, in the last few years, I've had a lot of people that when we're working on something, that they'll just start telling me stuff going on in their lives. What they're struggling with. Some of them, I know they're serving the Lord and they know that I'm serving the Lord. But a lot of them, they may have had a casual relationship with Christ, or they may have had a relationship with Christ at one point and then they decided to walk away, or they decided that it was just something that they did while they were living in their parents' house. It may have just been something that they were doing just because. But they see something in me and they know that they can come to me and ask me questions. And I often tell them stuff that they go, "My parents just told me this." And some of them are older than me when I tell them that. But just like that, though, God wants to draw the prodigal back. He wants the backsliders. He loves the backsliders. He loves the prodigals. He loves the lost just as much as he loves us. It's not too late to reach out to him, though, either. That's one of the biggest things I tell him, is that it's not too late. So all four parts of this vision statement are important. There's a balance to it all. If we're so focused on looking inward, it'll feel clicky. Well, I came, but it seemed like everybody had their friends, kind of talked in their groups, and they just escaped back out the door. If we're so focused on outward, then we'll lose focus on training them up and equipping them. But I'm thankful for everybody here, because you know what? God's given us that balance. He's equipped us for the road ahead. He's equipped us for the work of ministry. If you've been here for over 25 years, thank you for your steadfastness. If you've been here for just 2 hours, feel free to enjoy the journey with us because it's a great place. I love you guys so much. And this is what God has planned for here. We're just continuing what God started. We're walking in obedience here. We're going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the more we hear as a body, as a whole, the more we'll all move in the same direction. Will things always go the way we plan? No. But I know God. And I know that His plans are good. Our surprises are things that God had planned long ago. We can either get caught up in our circumstances, or we can recognize, like Esther, that we were made for such a time as this. So, Father, we thank You for calling us together here at New Life. We thank You for the goodness that You have for us, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the steadfastness that You've put in this place. Lord, I do thank You for the upward relationship that we have with You, for the upward relationship that we desire You, Lord. Lord, I thank You for that inward focus that we have had, that we have the ability to come together and to encourage each other. Lord, I do thank You for that forward vision that You have, for equipping us, for carrying on through the generations, God, for carrying on what you purposed long ago that it might be fulfilled in Your timing, God. Lord, and we do thank You for the outward focus as well, that we're able to reach so many of those around us, that we're able to reach those in the community, that we're able to reach those in our place of employment, God. We praise You for that. Lord, You are on the throne. Holy Spirit, have Your way. We praise You, God. We thank You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.